This morning we're going to be celebrating communion together. Once a quarter we do what is called elder communion. We come together and our elders participate in and we really focus our entire time on our communion with one another and with the Lord. And today is such a day. So there will be many scriptures read today. They are not the preliminary that comes before a message. They are the message. This is from the book of Revelation, the first 10 verses, chapter 5. Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly. And I wept and wept and wept. That no one was found to open the scroll or able to read it. One of the elders said, "Don't weep. Look, the lion from the tribe of Judah, the root of David's tree, has conquered. He can open the scroll, can rip through the seven seals." So I looked, and there, surrounded by throne, animals, and elders, was a lamb, slaughtered, but standing tall. He came to the one seated on the throne and took the scroll from his right hand. The moment he took the scroll, the four animals and the 24 elders fell down and worshiped the Lamb, and they sang a new song. "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Do we understand, church, that the passage, the prophecy of Revelation 5, is already coming to pass? All of those people that you saw, all of the languages that they were speaking, are your brothers and sisters that are even a part of the Alliance, just our little denomination. And they're just here in the United States, all of them. From every tongue, tribe, and nation, there is hope. As we prepare for communion this morning, let's pray together. Father, thank you for providing one who is worthy and able to open the scrolls. Thank you for the Lamb of God who has taken away the sins of the world. Thank you for the Lion of Judah who has overcome the power of sin and death. Spirit of God, lead us into your presence, we pray. Cleanse us of our sin, of our rebelliousness. Of our selfishness and our arrogance.
Humble us before you, we pray. And glorify yourself by meeting with us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'll be reading Isaiah 53, 1 through 5. Who believes what we've heard and seen? Who would have thought God's saving power would look like this? The servant grew up before God, a scrawny seedling, a scrubby plant in a parched field. There was nothing attractive about him, nothing to cause us to take a second look. He was looked down on and passed over. A man who suffered, who knew pain firsthand. One look at him and people turned away. We looked down on him, thought he was scum. But the fact is, it is our pains he carried, our disfigurements, and all the things wrong with us. We thought he brought it on himself, that God was punishing him for his own failures. But it was our sins that did that to him, that ripped and tore and crushed him, our sins. He took the punishment, and that made us whole. Through his bruises, we get healed.
The scriptures tell us there in Isaiah 53 and also in the New Testament that by his stripes we are healed. That there is the promise of healing in this life and not just for the next one. There's promises of healing our brokenness, our broken relationships, the brokenness of our own souls, and the brokenness of our bodies. There is no, you know, the scriptures tell us that there is great power in the prayers of those who are righteous as we gather together to pray. And God, in his sovereign choice, chooses how he will act. Our goal, our prayer is to align ourselves with his will. And that he would bring his kingdom to bear in our lives. And so we've not done this very much at the Rock, but we're going to be doing this more frequently. We're going to take some time now to pray. And I'm going to invite the elders to come up here to the altar area. And if you have anything that you would like the elders to pray over, if you are ill, if you are feeling broken inside or out, if there are issues in your life that you would like them to pray over, we will do as the scriptures command us to do and call us to do. And that is in the book of Ephesians, Paul writes, are any of you sick? Well, let them call the elders and go to them, and they will pray for them and pray for healing. And so we are going to take some time, and if it takes a long time, it'll take a long time. If nobody comes, it'll take a very short time. During this time, if you don't come forward, or you can come forward with someone, if they would like you to come with them and pray with them here, with one of the elders. We will take some time now to pray the promises of the scripture that by his stripes we are healed. So while the worship band will play, and feel free to come forward. There aren't that many of us here, and so nobody will notice if you come. Let's pray together. Precious Father, we thank you that you care about us, that you created these bodies in which we live. They are a wonder of achievement, an amazing functioning organism that no human being could conceive. After centuries, we continue to just try and figure it out. And so we turn ourselves over to you. For when we give our lives to you, Father, we give ourselves body
soul, and spirit. Thank you for caring about these bodies. And we pray, Father, I pray that even now, for those, there may be some who did not come forward, who are experiencing pain, difficulties, challenges in their lives and with their bodies. Lord, as they turn their hearts to you, I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that you would bring healing upon them, strengthening them in their spirit and in their body, that you would be glorified in all things. We pray it in Jesus' holy and precious name.
Hear the word of the Lord, Isaiah 53, 6 through 12. We're all like sheep who've wandered off and gotten lost. We've all done our own thing, gone our own way. And God has piled all our sins, everything we've done wrong, on him. Yes, on him. He was beaten. He was tortured. But he didn't say a word. Like a lamb taken to be slaughtered, and like a sheep being sheared, he took it all in silence. Justice miscarried, and he was led off. And did anyone really know what was happening? He died without a thought for his own welfare, beaten bloody for the sins of my people. They buried him with the wicked. They gave him a grave with a rich man. Even though he never hurt a soul or said one word that wasn't true. Still, it's what God had in mind all along, to crush him with pain. The plan was that he gave himself as an offering for sin so that he'd see life come from it. Life, life, and more life. And God's plan will deeply prosper through him. Out of that terrible travail of soul, he'd see that it's worth it. He'd see that it's worth it, and he'd be glad he did it. Through what he experienced, my righteous one, my servant, will make many righteous ones. As he himself carries our burdens, the burdens of their sins. Therefore, I'll reward him extravagantly, the best of everything, the highest honors, because he looked death in the face and didn't flinch. Because he embraced the company of the lowest. He took on his own shoulders the sin of the many. He took up the cross, the cause of, he took up the cause of all the black sheep. Blessed be the Lord.
The scriptures tell us that as we come together in communion, that we should stop and remember. We do this in remembrance of him. But sometimes it's good to remember even more than just the New Testament. These passages in the Old Testament tell us that hundreds of years before Christ came, God planned this. It was in the Father's plan to have his son suffer and die for us from the very beginning. And Christ entered into that plan willingly.
And so as we stop and we're going to now participate in communion together, I'd like us all to take just a few moments in silence to examine ourselves, to examine our hearts, and confess any of those places to Him. Any of those places where, well, we don't look like Him, where we won't listen to Him, or where we misuse His name. Let's take just a few moments in silence together. Gracious Father, we come before You, asking once again that You would cleanse us of our sin, of our rebellion. Heal us of our brokenness. We place ourselves before You as we celebrate together the life that Jesus bought for us with His blood and the Spirit with which You have filled us. In Jesus' name. The Apostle Paul writes that on the very night He was betrayed, Jesus took bread and He broke it. And He said, "This is My body, which is for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of Me." Then He took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood, which is for you. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." You don't have to be a member of the Rock to participate in communion, because your membership in a local body is not what makes you a follower of Jesus. Rather, if you've given your life to Christ, if you've availed yourself to His blood, asking Him to cleanse you of your sin and become Lord of your life, then you are a brother or a sister in Christ with those of us who walk with Him. You are a member of the body, which far exceeds membership in any local church. And so we encourage you to participate in communion with us. But if you have never given your life to Jesus, if you've never submitted yourself to the One who died in your place, if you've never allowed Him to wash you clean and adopt you into the family of God, then I encourage you, the Scriptures say, do not participate in communion, for you are doing so in a manner that is unworthy of God. It is an insult. It's poking God in the eye. And I've never thought that was a real good idea. But you can do that. You can give your life to Him now. See, our God is present. You don't have to be in a particular place or doing a particular thing. But rather, He's here, present now, and if you're thinking, boy, this is something I've not thought about before, or maybe this is something I ought to think about, then the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. God is speaking to you. It's not me, it's not anything that you've seen or heard, it's God by His Holy Spirit. And when God speaks, He invites. He invites you to come to Him. Come to Me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. And so, here is an opportunity today, before communion ever happens, to give your life to Jesus and find peace in your soul and power for your life.
Let's pause in prayer. Lord, if your Spirit is speaking to anyone here, we want to give you time. Draw them in. Give them life, we pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm going to ask the elders to pass out the communion trays. You'll find that you have a sealed cup that has the wafer attached to it. You pull off the top and you'll find the wafer. Pull off the bottom one, you'll be able to drink as well. So if we can go ahead and pass out the communion. Jesus took bread, and when he broke it, he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's eat together. In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is for you. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's drink together. Precious Lord Jesus, thank you.
Reading out of Revelations 5, verses 11 through 14. "Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing.' And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them, saying, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever.' And the four living creatures said, 'Amen.' And the elders fell down and worshiped."